T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and
That's the Midday Show. Benigno and Roberts on a just a, oh my God, what a gorgeous day.
What happened to the music?
Oh, it's playing. You can't hear it, Joe?
Jeez.
You all right there?
I've been better, but I mean, you know, I mean, all of a sudden I'm sitting here, I'm like, geez, what the heck's going on now?
Don't worry, we can't blame Dove yet because Dove's
not here.
He's being delayed like everybody else is because the weather outside right now.
No, it's miserable.
Oh, my God. It took me 2 hours and 10 minutes to get to work.
Bro, let me just tell everybody, I'm a little under the weather today. I'm home, okay? I'll be back in there tomorrow. If I would have had to do this commute today, forget it. I would have killed. I could only imagine, because I still got to take the car in. I could only imagine how long this would
take. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. And the worst part was you finally get in after all this traffic, because nobody can drive in the rain.
Right.
No one knows how to drive in the rain.
And here's the other thing. Everybody drives in the rain.
Yeah, and I understand that, because I was talking to Ernie about this. I would much rather, and maybe I'm different in this, I'd much rather sit in a car during a rainstorm than being stuck in a box known as a train. I'd rather be in my car. And maybe it's because I watched that movie, The Commuter, over the weekend.
Maybe.
Oh, my God, what a horror show that is.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you there. But anyway, be that as it may, you know, it's still a brutal commute. I mean, let's be honest.
Either way, but what I was telling myself as I was getting soaked by rain and getting into the building, I just kept repeating something into my head. I kept repeating, 12-2, and how do you do?
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, yesterday... First of all, how about this? Friday and Saturday, you couldn't have better days. Yesterday, it was like the tundra. I thought they were playing in Green Bay yesterday. I mean, how bad? You didn't go to that game, did you?
No, I mean, you know what I did, Joe? I didn't go to the game. I played baseball on the water, and it was as cold as I've ever played a baseball game.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, that's an issue with Major League Baseball. I mean, all these cancellations, but we'll get to that. The Mets right now, no way did I think they're winning that game yesterday. I got to tell you, first, let me start with this. I know Syndergaard was blowing everybody away, 8 straight strikeouts. He had 11 strikeouts yesterday. He's got it. You can't give me 5 1/3 innings and 100 pitches. This has got to change. This has got to change. This is going to catch up to this team at some point. And we all go gaga over Syndergaard, but 5 1/3 innings is not cutting it. I'm sorry.
The problem is... For Noah Syndergaard, for Jacob deGrom, and really for everybody around baseball, you are pitching against a clock now. And that clock is your pitch count.
No question.
So when you throw 29 pitches in the first inning.
Right, that set him back.
You already know right then and there. And I was glad he got out of it. It was a bad defensive play by Wilmer Flores in that inning.
Right.
Lorenzo Cain, who is such a pain in the rear end, but I respect the hell out of him.
He's
the one that started it with the 10-pitch walk. I'm glad he fought out of it, but you knew after the top of the first inning that unless Noah was going to be insanely economical and throw a couple of 7-pitch innings, he wasn't going to be long for the world because managers are just not going to let guys throw well over 100 pitches, and you are 100% right. You're 100% right. We can all go nuts about the strikeouts. Oh, my God, 8 in a row. But when you throw 101 pitches in 5 1/3 innings, that is something that's not going to be sustainable over a full season because you are going to ask way too much out of your bullpen, and that's why, and let's see Jake do it tonight, how about you go out, forget the strikeouts, go out there and just get outs quickly so you can stay in the game.
Bro, 100% right. But no, with that said, And the bullpen did a terrific job again. I mean, as they have. Gazelman did give up that one run. Actually, both runs were unearned. Frazier made that error, and then Rosario made that error when Wilmer couldn't scoop it. And that's how they got the two runs. But I tell you right now, and Mickey Callaway made a very weird move yesterday. I mean, he got away with it. But what are you doing? You're putting Jay Bruce in the game to pinch hit when you know that they're going to walk him with two out. And then let Syndergaard hit. What was that all about?
It didn't make any sense, and I was so curious. And thank God they won the game because Mickey is able to get away with these kinds of moves.
I mean,
and
everything right now they're getting away with.
Of course. But I was so curious to see what his thought was. And he gave two reasons for it, and I don't buy it.
No.
Okay?
No, to me it was just BS. The reasons he gave were like this convoluted nonsense that nobody could understand.
Well,
that's what he said.
Basically what he said was, I didn't think Noah was going to get through the sixth inning, but I wanted to start him in the sixth inning, and I didn't want to have to double switch him out. Now, if you did double switch him out, let's say, you let Nitto hit, he doesn't come through, and now it's the sixth inning.
I would have let Nitto hit there. I would have.
Well, I think you had two options, but I guess his thought was, if I can't get Noah through the sixth, I'm going to have to double switch because I'm going to go to Gazelman. And what your option would have been to double switch Nitto out of the game for Lobatone, because he said he did not want Cabby, that's his nickname for Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yeah, no, I know.
Which is amazing. He didn't want Jay Bruce or Asdrubal Cabrera to basically play other than for a pinch hit.
Which both of them pinch hit yesterday.
Right. So you have, to me, two choices. Number one, you said let Nitto hit. That's fine. The odds are he doesn't come through.
Right. You don't waste Bruce in case you needed him in a big spot later on.
Right. And then what you do if Syndergaard can't get through the sixth is you double switch Nitto out of the game and Lobatone comes in. That's what you could do. All right? That's your option. Because obviously he doesn't want to play Jay Bruce.
Right.
He doesn't want to play Asdrubal Cabrera.
Right.
And here's the other option. And I'm not saying I'm in love with it either. The other option is to go for the jugular and then pinch hit for Syndergaard. And say, okay, you're going to walk Jay Bruce? Well, I'm going to send up Asdrubal, and you go for that big hit, and now you give Gazelman a clean inning.
Yeah, you could have done that.
Those are the options.
Those were the
options. What he did is stupid because he wasted Jay Bruce.
And I know Noah got a double earlier in the game. In fact, just missed a home run earlier in the game. He had a bomb double to center field. But, that was a bad move. But they got away with it. I mean, it's unbelievable. And how about Nimmo? I mean, how about this guy? He comes one hit, a double short of the cycle yesterday. How many times have we seen it? This has been the MO with his team. They give up the runs. They give up the lead. Next inning, right back. Nimmo home run. Right back to tie the game.
Right out of the gate.
We've seen it over and over and over. Nimmo's got to play more than he does. And then Wilmer wins it in the ninth. I couldn't believe it. Wilmer wins it in the ninth. How many walk-off home runs does Wilmer have? Like three or four in his career?
He's got three now. Obviously, the one jumps out at us against the Nationals a few days after he was crying.
Right after he was traded.
The day they acquired Yoenis Cespedes. But thank God he hit that home run, because that game I don't think would have ended well if they had to have gone deeper into that bullpen.
No way did I think they're winning that game. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And when you look at what this team right now, they're not hitting. I mean, they're batting about .220 as a team. I mean, let's be honest about it. They're really not hitting right now. Excuse me. Frazier started to hit a little bit. Had the big two home runs the other day. Yoenis is not hitting at all. I mean, he was 0 for 5 yesterday, striking out all the time. He's in an 0-2 hole constantly in an 0-2 hole. Can they sit him now? Sit the guy a little bit? Let him take a day off, okay?
Especially with the way Nimmo's hitting.
Right. Yeah. They're 12-2. You can afford it. Let the guy – I think part of his problem is that the consistent warm weather, I think you're going to really start to see him hit. With that said, the one thing – how about the throw he made the other day to nail the guy at third base on Friday?
And you know what, Joe? What was great about that throw is not only did he nail
the base
runner.
He made a nice play against the left field wall,
too. Well, and that was a huge play in the game.
Yep.
I mean, that was a game-changing moment because Jesus Aguilar hits one over the fence, and there's no doubt what's on Aguilar's mind is that I'm not going to get thrown out at second base. So instead of the Brewers in the eighth inning of a tight game, down a run, having a runner on second with one out, they have a runner on first and one out. It's a completely game-changing moment defensively. And see, that's the thing about this. You're 100% right. Cespedes isn't hitting.
Not at all.
As a team really
aren't
hitting
like
that much.
No, they're batting like .220 as a team. I mean, something like that.
But here's what they're doing, not just defensively, but offensively. They're making the big play when they have to.
Clearly.
Because Cespedes in that game, not only did he make the great throw, he made the leaping catch earlier in that game.
That's what I said, against the wall in left field. Yeah.
And, you know, even looking yesterday, they made a couple of errors, but they're making the big defensive play when they have to. Ahmed Rosario against the opposing pitchers, Chacin, with a couple of guys on base.
How big was that play, right? That's
right. It was a huge play. Yep. And the same thing offensively. They're not scoring a lot of runs, but in the sixth inning, Brandon Nimmo's tying the game with a home run, and Wilmer's winning it in the ninth inning. Everything is coming out right at this moment. And the other thing is, the starting pitching, and you touched on this earlier, is not going deep into games.
I mean, outside of Zach Wheeler, one seven-inning stint.
That was it.
Nobody's getting out of the sixth inning. And how about Harvey? You know, Harvey's just... How about the fact that Matt Harvey now, it's 12 consecutive starts going back to last year that he has not gotten through five innings.
And we now live in a world where that's who he is.
Yeah.
And that's why when Noah Syndergaard pitches and Jacob DeGrom pitch, they have to go deep into the games. Because I can't expect Matt Harvey to go deep in a game. He hasn't gone deep into a game like you talked about in a long time.
A year.
So
it
puts more pressure on nights where Jake is on the mound and a night where Noah's on the mound for them to go deep in a game. The bullpen has been great, and I think that's...
The bullpen's been the big key to me so far.
Right. That's how been able to overcome the fact that they're not going deep into games, they're not scoring a ton of runs, but they're 12-2.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. They're just finding ways to win.
And so far, 14 games into it, I gotta heap tremendous praise on Todd Frazier. I mean, this guy, I don't know what he's doing in the locker room. Obviously, that's happening. But this guy he's getting big hits all over the place. I mean, you know, the two home runs the other night. Did make an error yesterday. He did. You know, that set up two runs, as it turned out. But, you know, I mean, he's been off the charts. He's walking. How many walks?
Well, that's it.
The guy's like Joey Votto. Yeah. I mean, he's walked like 13 or 14 times already.
I think that's the big difference because Todd Frazier's been around. Right? He's a baseball player we've seen, whether it was with Cincinnati, the White Sox, and obviously last year with the Yankees. And usually – a player is a player. They are what they are.
Right. Yep.
And Todd Frazier, over the last year, has evolved into something different. He draws a lot of walks, and that's got to change your view on him. It's certainly changing my view on him.
Sure.
Not only the leadership, which is a very fair point. You put a lot of stock in that, and I give you credit because it looks like he has changed everything about this locker room.
By the way, did you get your salt and pepper shaker t-shirt yet?
No, I will never
get
that.
They'll be giving them away soon.
If they give it away, I guess I'll keep it.
That'll be a Friday night t-shirt giveaway coming up.
Oh, that's coming.
You know.
That's
coming. No doubt.
So definitely he's doing something in the locker room. But offensively, I mean, this weekend's a great example. He breaks out of the home run slump on Friday.
Yep.
And he's just drawing a ton of walks. He's getting on base consistently. And so Todd Frazier, so far, it's been 14 games.
14 games, right.
Long way to go. He's been a tremendous addition. But they just keep winning.
They keep
winning these really close games. And every game they win, you feel like they're going to lose, win anyway.
Look, you know this as well as I do. Watching that game, these are games for years that you and I watched with the Mets that they lose yesterday. Typical years that they lose these games. And they are finding ways to win. So far, 14 games, I got one word. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's what it is.
And what always scares me is that, you know, teams are going to have winning streaks. It's how you respond when the winning streak ends. And yesterday, the Mets responded.
I thought that was a big game yesterday.
Huge.
For them. To come back, win that series against Milwaukee, and then knowing that you got the Nationals now coming in for three. I thought that was – and they lost again to Colorado.
Well, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I like to look at facts. And the facts are the New York Mets have a chance to really step on the Washington Nationals' throat right now.
Indeed.
Because even though the Nats are better than their 7-9 record, and they are banged up, no doubt, and the Mets are fortunate they're missing Max Scherzer again, they're going to miss Steven Strasburg.
Yep.
Here's the math.
Gio gives them trouble, though, and Gio's pitching.
Sure.
Tonight.
And tonight they'll take on Jeremy Hellickson, who's going to make his first start.
Hellickson, not Gio. Gio tomorrow?
Gio tomorrow. It was supposed to be A.J. Cole tonight, who's been terrible, and the Nats are making a quick change. But right now, the Nats come into this series 7 games back in the loss column.
I know.
And it's not that you can't make up 7 games and you can't make up 8 games and you can't make up 9 games. Sure they can. The Mets are going to cool off and the Nats are going to win a bunch of games. We all understand that. But there's a chance if this roll continues, the Mets could be 10 games up.
Hey, let them
chase.
What
an opportunity.
Amen. By the way, how about Gabe Kapler? The guy went from like incompetent to like manager of the year. they're only 3 games out. What are they, like 9-5 now?
9-5. They
can't make it.
It's
unbelievable.
Tampa. Well, they have a good baseball team. I really believe that.
No, they're not bad.
Couple of things about these rainouts, Joe. You can't have every game in April in Miami and in Tampa and California. But here's the issue. Here's the biggest issue with me. The White Sox and Twins had three games postponed over the weekend. It's really not that big of a deal. They're going to play a bunch more other times.
I understand that.
The problem was Yankees, Tigers, Blue Jays, Indians, Angels, Royals, because that's their only trip to that city. So I think what you've got to do, and I'm sure it's not impossible, is when you are facing a team outside of your division, whether it's interleague play or it's just a team in your league but outside the division, you try to keep those warm weather friendly because you put a lot of pressure on trying to get these games in. The fact that the Yankees and Tigers were even thinking about a day-night doubleheader yesterday is amazing, that they were even contemplating that idea.
I mean, it was a lost weekend for the Yankees. I mean, they did win Friday night, and it turned out to be a one-game series. But I don't know what the answer is. The season, to me, is too long. They're never going to change that. It should be about 144 games, honestly, not even 154. That year in 95 when they played 144 would be good. You could start the season late April. They're never going to do that. They're never going to do that because, you know, it's going to be – it's all about money. It's all about the jack. And the Players Association is never going to go for that. I got another solution. I'll never do this either because the ballparks aren't big enough. You can play the first 2 weeks in Florida. Everybody.
The problem
Florida and Arizona.
Oh, you mean like neutral site games, basically?
Well, no. At your, you know, the Mets will play at St. Lucie's home game. The Yankees' home game's in Tampa. And those are the...
Nah, you can't do that. There's 5,000 people
well,
there, like
the
you
problem.
Said. Yeah.
No, that's what I said. The problem is the ballparks aren't
big
enough.
Well, and here's the other problem. What about, take Friday night as an example. Friday night was a gorgeous night at Citi Field.
Beautiful. So Friday night was stellar.
Right, so you
big
lose.
Big crowd, it was great.
You lose out on that just because you assume, hey, the weather may likely be bad. Right. I think what you've got to do is you've got to find a way, and I know it's impossible because it's five teams in each division, but keep most of the games early as divisional games because there's less pressure to play. Yeah. When you're facing a team inside your division, like the Mets are facing the Nationals, if you rein the game out, that's fine. You just make it up in the
summer. I'll give you another solution. Ready? And you touched on it a little bit. Get rid of interleague play. If you get rid of interleague play, now you're playing more games against the teams in the other divisions than you were before.
You can't do it. There's an odd number of teams in each league, unless you go back to the 16-14 thing that they used to have.
Well, I guess you could do that.
And we're moving somebody else now to the American League or the National League?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a
solution. Well, what I suggested earlier is you keep these games that are being played as either divisional games or when it's non-divisional games, those are the games you play in warm weather sites. Because I'm telling you, the biggest issue is the fact that these teams don't go back to that city. The White Sox Twins postponement over the weekend, and they lost three games, is really not that big of a deal. They're going to make them up. They go back there. The Yankees don't go back to Detroit. They have to find an off day, the day of the MLB draft, where they basically gave everybody a day off, and they've got to play a doubleheader that day.
Well,
and that's it. They'll solve it. They'll play the game and they'll move on. But I think the biggest issue is the fact that you only go to a city once, so there's a lot of pressure to get those games
in. Drop the All-Star game and play through it? No, I'm not kidding.
Why not?
Instead of having 4 days off, who cares? Let's be honest. Do we really care about the All-Star game?
No, not anymore.
Right. They could do that. That's 4 days in July where you're playing games.
Just
that,
remember
you know,
this. You can't come up with ideas that take away money from the players and the owners.
No, it's all about the jack. I mean, look, sports today, it's sad. But and I guess it always
it's always been that way.
But now it's more than ever because with the millions and millions that are involved, you know, skazillions, it's all about money.
Hey, it's always been about money. Comiskey cheaped out on his team because of money.
Right.
And that was in 1919.
But now it's above and beyond. Now.
Well, it's a bigger amount of money.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Right.
We'll talk to Eddie C. coming up at 11. The Yankees will play a game tonight, finally. And it actually benefited them because now Yankee fans don't have to watch Luis Sessa make a start.
Yeah, and they got a couple days off.
So congratulations on that.
Yep. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.